Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray. I'll be your host this evening. I am myself an adult survivor of child abuse, and I founded this organization, which is a nonprofit organization, about a dozen years ago. We have a pretty large family. And the family includes all kinds of people from all kinds of places. We call ourselves a family as a community, but we really try to treat each other that way, too. So we're happy to have you along tonight. We apologize. We are here late, and I'm not sure what happened. Apparently, there was whoever was supposed to be the host did not show up. Annie, are you here? Let me open your mic. Annie?
I am here, Bill.
Yeah.
Hello.
Were you here? Did Sean try to come in, I guess?
I did not hear from him. I didn't hear from him at all.
Okay. Did you see somebody in the room, though? I mean, on the board?
No.
Okay. We had a special guest, Sean Wyman, who is a member of NASCA for several years, who is scheduled for tonight from Tallahassee, Florida. He may or may not have tried to get here because it's fully 20 minutes later that we finally got on the air. And Annie had sent me a message on Facebook, which I was not looking at, and I was not sitting at my desk. So when I finally did, she told me there's nobody hosting the show. I really appreciate you doing that. We're going to go ahead and do some kind of show here, Annie. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but I will say on our behalf to Sean, we deeply apologize that we were not able to get here on time ourselves to make him feel comfortable. We will schedule him, of course, for another date further down the line, and make sure that he's treated better than he was treated tonight. Sean, however, will have a good attitude about it. I can tell you that, you know, that's not a bad theme just to start with. Sean is, of course, like almost all of us, in recovery. Well, we're all in recovery, but he's been in recovery a little while, like I have. He's a survivor of childhood emotional and physical abuse, and now he's an activist. But his story has more to do with where he came from, and the emphasis is on PTSD, because he was a ranger, an Army ranger, for a number of years. So he served in the military, in other words. And when he finished that, he became a cop, which he still is today. So he chose a kind of a lifestyle which already is stressful. And then he discovered that he had to deal with his child abuse issues too. So he's an excellent person. He works with people who are coming in. He's on our contact list as working with people who are coming into the group with experience and background in things like the military or law enforcement, but certainly PTSD is a big thing for him and for us. And, of course, we'd love to have him come in because that's a big topic, Annie. PTSD, whew.
It is.
Okay, you got to say more than it is.
All right, PTSD, yes, I'm afraid that I enjoy that that diagnosis. And I do have to say that I have improved so much that I don't get the flashbacks and the body memories that I used to get all the time that come with PTSD. So I'm really lucky that I've worked through it enough that I don't really get it anymore.
Well, you know, I think that's the pattern of how it works. But you have to address it. It doesn't go away by itself.
No.
You're saying that you don't experience it now because you worked on it. That's
exactly.
That's the point that I'm making. It doesn't just float away. And for some people,
no.
It's more serious than others. There are some people who use the term CPTSD, which means complex post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm not sure which is, you know, why. That name came up a couple of years ago, and some people glommed onto it. It seems like we have to be a little bit special with whatever malady we have. So anyway, PTSD, you know, is the same thing that we used to hear about shell shock with soldiers.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have recognized that it's not just a military thing. It's not just it is shared by many communities, including the survivors of child abuse, because we are traumatized when we are abused, and that trauma experience. Comes up over and over and over again. It's running our life. It still may be for many people who are listening right now, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But it does get better. The point is that if you work on it, it doesn't get better necessarily if you don't work on it. If you deny you have it and you turn your back, right? It doesn't get better. In fact, it gets worse sometimes, many times.
Yes, I have debilitating anxiety, social anxiety, and deep depression, and all kinds of PTSD symptoms for many years. And I really couldn't even function very well until I started to say, hey, wait a minute, this happened to me. And
right.
It took, how old am I? It's probably been 20 years since I've started working on it, I think.
Uh-huh.
And it took me that long, but I feel good now.
Uh-huh.
So
there's
hope.
I mean, there is hope. And, you know, I heard last night, I think it was, that Carol was saying on the show that she knew somebody who was with the same therapist for 15 years. Remember that? And they didn't. They didn't help. It's like.
Yeah.
Duh. You're the wrong person if that's happening, because there is hope. Not everybody's for everybody. I understand that, but I think there's a path for everybody. And if you can find the right person to help guide you on that path, and there's Lord knows an awful lot of us here at NASCA who are willing to work with each other, then you will get better. It's just a fact. It won't get better
mm-hmm.
if you just sit on it. It will get better if you start sharing and doing the million other things, Annie, that we recommend here at NASCA that people do in order to, consider themselves on the road to recovery. So listen, let me just say, shout out to people. If you are listening and you're at your computer tonight or on your phone tonight, we would love you to call in. There are no restrictions on what we can talk about. As long as it deals with, somehow with child abuse and trauma, and that could include violent or physical abuse, sexual abuse, could be emotional traumas or neglect, any kind of trauma that you might experience in childhood that shows up in your adulthood, is valid for discussion at Maskin. That's all we deal with, nothing else. So we don't bring in politics issues that are not related to child abuse and so forth. We don't argue with each other because there's no competition going on here. We share, and we are a community that shares. And I just want to put it out that we are inviting people tonight to call in now, and they can kind of shape the show when they call in, Andy, because since we don't have our regular guests, and we'll have Sean another time, what we'll do is we will offer the time, which is still an hour here, for whoever wants to come in to suggest a topic. And then we'll talk about that topic, and we'll talk about it until it seems exhausted, I guess. At least we won't beat it up, but we'll talk about it significantly. If another person comes in during the discussion and they have a topic, once our first topic is handled, we'll go to the second topic and so forth. We have plenty of time and plenty of space. And I like to offer this to especially newcomers, Annie, because that's the group that doesn't know what it doesn't know.
Right.
So anyway, if you're out there, please do call in. The number is 646. No, that's my number, my home number. What is it? Yeah, 646.
It is 646.
Yeah, it is. 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. 646, by the way, is a New York number, but I don't know why. We're not in New York. We're actually all over the globe. It's an American number. We're primarily, American, but we deal with people from worldwide, and everybody who wants to can participate as long as they're awake during this time. and we have people. It's true. We have had people who are on the show, who are from, kind of extravagant places, and really all over the world. I just registered somebody. I didn't register them, but I welcomed them to the group, and they were from Tibet. It's like,
wow.
Somebody else from Afghanistan recently, Now these people are not currently on the active list, I would say, but they are in the group now because they asked to be in the group, so I put them in there. And really, mm-hmm. One of the things you need to do if you want to take advantage of Maskin is to make yourself obvious to the people that are already here. You can do that in a number of ways. Annie's doing it tonight by she has volunteered to work on the radio shows, and she was the only one here when I showed up. but people will get to know it as Annie visits the show multiple times over the weeks and months. People will definitely get to know her. She'll share some of her story and so forth as well, and that's how you get known, and you're not a wallflower then, you're out front. we don't pressure people though, but we invite them, to participate. Mm-hmm. So again, 646-595-2118, 646-595-2118. Annie and I are both in California, aren't we? Are you in California?
I am. I'm near Los Angeles.
Oh, so am I. All right. I'm near Dodger Stadium. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So, but that's just a coincidence tonight. We normally have people from across the country. There's only two of us, so but we have people from across the country, and we've had Canadians, and we've had Europeans, and we've had people from South Africa. We've had guests from Australia and New Zealand, and just everywhere, the whole global. As long as someone can speak English, they can find us and take advantage of us because we We don't publish our website in anything but English. I don't know anything but English.
Yeah.
At least not well enough. Yeah. So that's hard enough. So there's a gal in LinkedIn who has just recently become a friend, and she's impressed by what we do here. She's asking if she can be if she can chat with me. I should tell her that she should call the show.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I can't call her, and I can't type to her and then also talk. So if you take time to talk like 2 minutes, I'll do the typing, see if we can get her in there. Yeah?
Okay. I will talk. I have a thought today about what was the best thing I ever did to help with my healing. I was kind of making a list of things I do. And I think the very best thing I ever did was write my story and change it.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote it as fiction, and I changed it. And I got revenge in it. And I think that was so cathartic. I recommend everyone to write. I think it's a really good way to get in touch with what's inside of us that happened that maybe we don't even remember.
Well, I haven't written a book at all. But...
Oh, you haven't?
No. Nope. I'm one of those.
I've written a few books.
Have you?
Yeah, but this is the only one.
It's the only one.
The
on
other
child
books
abuse?
I've published. Yes, I have the one on child abuse, which is a novel. It's not a memoir. And then I have a theatrical play, which I published that one first. It is about child abuse, and the novel is based on the play. So they are similar stories, but they're not the same. And then I did, back in 2008, I think, I did a silly book called Goddishness, which is an illustrated trivia book.
Really?
So three, I've got three of them. Yeah, yeah. And I'm working on a book now. It has nothing to do with being a survivor, although that may be mentioned in there. It's a collection of short stories, and so perhaps someone in those short stories will be a survivor. Haven't done that yet, but I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, why not, right?
And
you write what you know about, don't you?
Of course. That's all you can write about, right? I don't know how people write those romances and historical fiction and all that. That's like amazing to me. I just write when I know.
Right.
And I write every day, and that's another tool I would suggest that people might try. Every morning when I get up, I write 3 pages in a large format journal. So it's like an 8x10 page, and I write for 3 pages. It doesn't matter what I say. It's just stream of consciousness. No one will ever see it. I can burn it when I'm done if I want to. And it's just an opportunity for your brain to let out a bunch of crap that maybe you were keeping down. And I find it very helpful.
Well, I can see it. I can see that. I just haven't done it. You know, I don't have an excuse. You're not required to do that. I should tell people. You know, a lot of people do write their story. I think they write their story partly because they believe that that identifying with their story will be important for a lot of people. In other words, they have a special thing to talk about. And I don't feel that way. But I mean, everybody's story is important, is what I feel. And I came from a background where I was sharing for many years before I really, before I started NASCA anyway. And mm-hmm. that was in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I shared, and I'm show right now, trying to finish this.
And that's the same as writing. I think that speaking out loud is just as powerful as writing about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have spoken for years. I'm 38 years sober, I believe. And I've been sharing in, NA and CA and AA for all that time, and Al-Anon and other things. So I was afforded the opportunity, let's put it that way. Rather than go through therapy, so to speak, I went through the program, and fortunately I stuck around. And, there aren't any rules about how you have to pass any tests or anything like that. And mm-hmm. it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if you know about AA, but it's free. It's all over the world, and people don't realize it's right next door right now, wherever you are. There are AA meetings in the community, many of them, often. Living in Los Angeles, I think there's 3,000 meetings a week or something, 3,500 a week.
Wow.
Meetings of other types, like Al-Anon, which is for family members of alcoholics, and Narcotics Anonymous, which is to discuss drugs instead of drinking, and, Overeaters Anonymous, which is people with eating disorders, and on and on and on. There are other 12-step programs that besides that 3,500, and this is an amazing process, and I got clean sober. AA had been in existence about 50 years when I completed my first year. So it was well established, and I really benefited from the fact that I got there when I got there. Now, we're kind of doing the same thing with child abuse, because there are not big child abuse groups now, although we have listed as many as we can find in the whole world. I heard Carol talk about that last night, too. They're on the website, and they're free to use for anybody. And it's a living list that we update when somebody tells us, oh, I found a new meeting, or maybe I found a meeting with a broken website link. Here's how to fix it. We keep these things current, and there are many many PDF pages for, I think, California, 50-something pages of meetings. That's one of the bigger states. But there are multiple PDF pages for many of the states all over the country. Then all the provinces, then all the countries, where English is spoken, and even in countries where English is not the main language, We can find and do find occasional meetings that are in English, so we list them. Anyway, the point is I got drifted away. The experience of having a platform by which I could share, I didn't share every meeting, but many meetings, and then have a kind of they call it a fellowship of people to can eventually, once you know each other, go have coffee together, go have lunch together, stuff like that. Because a lot of people in AA, especially when they first start, they can't work. They're living on the street. They're really sick. They're malnourished. They're usually spiritually bereft. There are many problems besides the fact that they're addicted to drink that show up. But that's true with trauma. So I realized that. And when I saw how the 12 steps were going to work for me all those years ago, I decided, well, since there is an Al-Anon and there is a Narcotics Anonymous and there is an Overeaters Anonymous and so forth, that you could apply the 12 steps to whatever particular problem you wanted to, and it would work. In fact, the big book that was written to start Alcoholics Anonymous in 1938, roughly, says that it's not really about not drinking. It is about not drinking, but it's really a design for living that works. And if you live this design for living, you lose the need to fill up your life with booze. You know, same thing is true though. With child abuse, I couldn't find anybody to help me all those years ago. Nobody believed that little boys could have been abused back then, frankly. So I applied the 12 steps to child abuse trauma, and it worked. And all these mm-hmm. years later, I launched NASCA. I had already been to the mountaintop and back a few times. I promised myself that I would not go public with my story until my parents were gone. And one died at the turn of the century, and the other died a few years later. Or she actually got Alzheimer's and then died. So when she got Alzheimer's, I knew that I was safe to launch NASCA, and they would never know. They would never be embarrassed or hurt or anything like that, because they were not my molesters. When I shared the story with them years back, my father really had heart attacks. You know. Anyway, that was about a dozen years ago. And, we've just been growing and growing and growing. When did you first meet us, Annie?
It's been like a year and a half ago, I think, something like that. I found you on the internet. And I was interviewed once, like a year ago. Interviewed again recently.
Getting a helicopter.
You know what? I wanted to mention that I was in a 12-step program specifically for survivors of incest, and we used the 12 yeah. steps in that program.
That's right.
I found it very
incest
helpful.
And
yeah, and we could share our story. And it was anonymous, so nobody could say outside that I was a victim, and that was very important
That's
for a
right.
lot of people. That nobody knows
well,
then you, victims.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you do have an experience with the 12-step program, because you're right. There is a sexaholics, for one thing. There is an institution, a group that's for incest survivors. There mm-hmm. are all kinds of them. And, you know, if you can find them, and you probably can, because there's, I think, 80 different kinds of 12-step groups or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a great concept.
So incest is a huge issue, right? It's the same kind of issue as it has characteristics that are the same issue as drinking. Drinking used to be a drinking to excess used to be a shameful thing. People would turn away from alcoholics and so forth. They wouldn't help them. And you had to be basically a falling down drunk before they would bring you in to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. But we don't have to worry about that now, because there isn't the shame about it. Same thing
right.
as there's not the shame about child abuse.
Child
exactly. abuse now, it's shameful, we think. This is the newcomer, the person that's experienced it, feels shame themselves that it happens to them. Now, I don't know how old you are. I forget your story, but I know you were quite young. And I was 11 when it happened to me. The point is that children don't start these things. They are susceptible to pedophiles or predators who take advantage of them. You know, that's what they do. So it's not the fault of the child is what I'm trying to say. but we feel that way. And, you know, it's a shame because we have to be taught. It should be natural, but we have to be taught that the responsibility belongs to the predator, not to the child. And almost all of us feel somehow responsible. That's where the shame comes from, and the hiding of it, and the not, you know, wanting to talk about it, which is all these things are very common. So if you write a book, obviously you're revealing yourself, but you're also doing so in groups or in, you know, when you're talking to, I guess, therapists and so forth. So, yeah. All right.
You know, what was really important to me was to put my first and last name on the book so that I am not anonymous. Okay, I'm a victim. Okay, I'll tell everyone I'm a victim. Okay, so what? And that doing that, it was a big, big step for me. Going public was a big step for my healing.
Right.
And now every time I publicly talk about it, it helps me more.
And it helps untold numbers of people to hear us once we are comfortable with telling our story, or maybe even before that. When we're telling our story for the first time, frankly, we're helping people then, and we're helping ourselves.
Yes.
And it may take a while of telling the story and telling the story and telling the story at various functions and meetings and radio shows and whatever before we become comfortable. You don't have to wait to become comfortable is the point. You can be effective for your own, just getting on your own healing journey, and you can be offering, in a really dynamic way, a gift to a newcomer who's listening. And they can't relate to you, but they start hearing the similarities in the stories that you're telling that match up with things that they've experienced. Like, for example, the shame we just talked about. That's almost universal. Like PTSD, which is shared by so many people. There are many, many things that are shared. And what they say to themselves is, wow, I can't believe that Annie is being that honest. I don't think I could do it. She said, well, on the other hand, maybe I could if she can. So they get on their own journey. And, you have helped them do that with you telling your stories, your story.
That's why
then.
I do it. I don't do it because I like to talk. I do it because I know who I was way back when I started healing. I want to speak to that person and help and give them hope.
Right. Right. Okay. I'm still trying to get Blog Talk open on my phone.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. But
okay.
I want to see it. Is that Carol?
Yeah, it's me. I guess Annie just contacted me. Yeah, and said there was no host or whatever. I can see my screen. I mean, the three of us are here. You're here,
okay.
I'm here, Annie's here.
I had gone away on my phone to look something up, and I'm not at my computer. But what I was wondering is if anybody else had joined us, I wouldn't have known. So now you've confirmed it's just the three of us. And you're the one that joined us, Carol. Thank you very much.
Well, you're quite welcome very much.
Yeah. Well, so we don't know what happened. We
I
do know that.
Idea.
Yeah. It's
Sean.
We're just doing a generic show, talking about a variety of things. And I listened to the show you did last night, and you kind of did a similar show with our co-host, of course. But Annie was there, too, last night. So I commented to Carol how I thought you were doing really great, and you were probably ready to participate on the shows as a trainee, you know. And as a trailer, we call it. One person is the host and the other is the trailer. We have two people at a time. assigned to these shows. And you know why it's there? Because you can have a dialogue with anybody else, but you need somebody else. So tonight's a perfect example. You were sitting there alone, and notified, I guess, Carol and myself, and I was able to get in and start the show. And once, since there were two of us, we dialogued, I mean, all the way until now. So, you know, we've been talking and talking and talking, Carol, and had a good show so far. Now, I had had a person. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had had a person make a contact with me on LinkedIn, and I was explaining to Annie that I was going to go see if I could get her to come on the show, because she said, would you like to chat sometime? And I thought, yeah, call in. She didn't call in. She's apparently not at her desk or whatever right now. But anyway, I've also made pitches for anybody else to call in too. And, you know, we'll see if we get anyone. I explained, and I'll explain again because it's been a while, that you don't have to bring anything with you when you come on this show, especially because on a show like tonight, you know, you can be the one that suggests the topic. There are so few of us here, and frankly, if you're newer than one of us, than us, we would like to help you understand child abuse and trauma recovery. And on a show like this, we can have somebody say, I have an issue, I have a question, I have a topic, and then we can all talk about it for a while. Once we've talked about it, we can have somebody else say, oh, that was such a good talk. Can I ask a question myself? We say, yes. Well, this is what I'd like to know. You know, and you can do a whole show like that, and it's really a good show. So if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have a topic that you wanted to get into a little with a little more discussion and so forth, tonight's perfect. Just dial 646-595-2118 and join us here on the air. 646-595-2118. I am now sitting in front of the switchboard, and I can see the three of us here. And when the next person comes on, we will welcome them to the show. And we won't force anyone to share if they don't want to, but we would appreciate it if there's some people here that would like to participate. 646-595-2118. And by the way, that is the dedicated phone number we'll use every night. So you could, like, write it down or put it in your phone or whatever. I have it in my phone, so I don't have to hit it. when it dials.
Well, I just got off the phone with let me say something here. I just got off the phone with Eric Ramsey, and he is coming on the 29th, okay?
Excellent.
And I don't know who will be hosting that night, but I'm definitely going to, you know, if Penelope can't do it, I'll do it. It doesn't matter because we had a nice conversation. And we do have a lot of people that are scheduled now. I don't know what happened to Sean tonight. I wanted him on the 6th, and it got changed to the 8th, and I don't know where he went. I hope everything's okay.
I have a feeling he may have called in, and there was no one starting the show. So he may have called in and then not stuck around. I don't know. But
I don't blame him.
This isn't
my night usually, so I wouldn't know to call in. But Annie, I think it was you that just contacted me and said that.
Yes.
But you know what? We can talk about child abuse, Bill. Absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, for instance, how does child sexual abuse affect adults' well-being? This is something that gets asked a lot. And there's all kinds of ways that it does affect, you know, people. It will trust issues.
Oh, yeah.
This may be severe.
Yeah.
And make you feel like the world is not a safe place. Yes, I'll go along with that. This may be an issue if you were close to the abuser and they turned on you. Oh, that is such a heavy topic. Because that means that it's many times in the family, you know, and we do speak about that at times. when the abuser is in the family, like a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle. I have to mention the women too, because we don't a lot of, not enough. They've done studies, Bill, and they're finding out that yes, there's more men, pedophiles, but the women are catching up. Now maybe they're just trying, getting more studies and checking on it and so forth. Not going to quote stats because I don't know them yet, okay? But they made mention of the fact that there's a lot more women pedophiles than what people realize. So I thought that was interesting. It also affects our self-esteem. You may feel yourself like shame or even blame. I could have done this or I couldn't have done that. But it was never our fault. That's something that we have to realize. It was never our fault. Annie, I think you had just said something like that. I heard I came in on something on like that. And right. No, it was never our fault. So often we're groomed, And with me, I was never groomed. It was always violent. But most kids, I think, are groomed. And then if you're groomed by someone in your family, say an uncle, an aunt, whomever, a brother, a sister, parents, whatever. I think that studies have shown, too, that the healing process takes a lot longer because this is someone, you get mixed feelings, mixed emotions, because, this is someone who's supposed to love you, supposed to nurture you, if it's the parents, and you don't want to hate your parents, and you want to please your parents. So it's sort of like a type of thing that goes on in the mind. I hate him or her. I hate, but I love him or her. And it's really a very hard, difficult situation to be in. But they're finding out that there's so much incest in the family now. That's why groups are starting to pop up. Yeah. I noticed that online.
Yeah.
They're popping up all over the place. Because, quite frankly, there's so much incest out there. And that's a heavy thing. Go ahead.
Well, when we talk about how the statistics of child abuse break down, we generally say it's a little over 60% that experience the child abuse from their own family. That's incest. 63%, I think, are abused by a father, an uncle, a mom, a cousin, a big brother, It happens in the family, About 30% happens outside the family, but with people that the child knows, that the parents know usually. Like in my case, they sent me to a summer camp, right? And they had gotten a good reputation at the summer camp and so forth. So everything checked out as far as they know. They were attempting to give me a nice experience, and instead they unknowingly sent me to the, to the lair of the pedophiles, and so that's 30-something% of the kids that are abused. I call it the caregiver community, which means that it could be camp counselors, it could be cops, it could be nurses, it could be babysitters, it could anybody who is not a family member who comes in contact with the child, and often it's introduced to the child by an unwitting parent. And then it's less than 10%, 7%, I think, that experience child abuse through true strangers, which is the only thing we ever talk about our kids with, don't take candy from a stranger. Don't go with anyone in a car if you don't know them and so forth, that kind of thing. But the truth is 60-something percent, it's in the house, in the family.
That is disgusting. And you're right, Bill, because it blows me away that the stats are that high on that. And I knew that they were high. I thought it was in the 50%, 60, whatever. It's much too high. But, I remember going into a store once, and I'm in the stores a lot. We won't talk about that. But I have a big mouth. I like to talk. I get to know the people. They get to know me and all this stuff. And this lady and I started to speak, and she asked me what I do. So I said, well, I work with NASCA, and I brought this all out, everything we know about NASCA. And she said, well, were you abused? And I said, yes. And she said, well, so was I. And I said, oh.
Right.
So I said, well, right. did you tell on the person? You know, you ask the normal questions that we ask. Did you tell on the person? Did the person get into trouble? Blah, blah, blah. And she said, no, I didn't. So I asked her, I said, why not? And I said, were you terribly frightened? She says, no, I was too ashamed. It was someone in my family. And I was so horribly ashamed. And I think that if I had told, it would have broken up the whole family. So this is what happens. And I said to her, but you're a person, too. You're a person, too. She said, but I was too scared. Let me finish that. This lady was in her 50s, all right? She was in her 50s. And I said, well, are you ever going to tell? And she said, no. So that was the end of that. I just thought I'd bring that in because, geez, we need people to tell, all right?
We do.
That's what we need.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So that was,
really,
something that I have. Yeah, go.
That's
go ahead.
Really what Annie and I were talking about was the fact that you need to get the story out. She was talking about writing her books as a way to do that, and that she felt much better when she, even when it wasn't about child abuse, she got the experience of getting into herself and getting out of herself by putting it down on paper. And, and we decided that the same thing was true in therapies of different kinds, like Alcoholics Anonymous, or Incest Anonymous, or with a therapist, and so forth, or here at NASCAR on the radio show. You get the story out, really starts you on your journey. If you don't get your story out, you can't get on the journey. You can't. You know, you're stuck in the trauma if you can't get it out. So, but you don't have to be a whiz bang to get it out. You just have to feel you can trust the group, which I know many people trust. NASCA, obviously, and you can make a beginning, you know. You don't have to be
another thing too, Bill, you know, what we talk about, and it should be spoken about. If you don't tell on the person, all right, they continue to go on and molest and rape other children. Okay, a child doesn't realize that at the time. They don't think like that, and they think they're probably going to be the only one that's going to be touched by this individual. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the truth of the matter is, like, when I left the pedophile house, he just went next door, and he got caught by the girl's father, and no one called the police, but he got beaten up so badly that he couldn't even walk for a couple of months. And then when he could, he and his wife moved down to Florida. Well, then I found out through the grapevine that he continued, you see, with his disgusting ways of you know, having children as prey, P-R-E-Y. So the point is, you know, we want these people off the street if we can get them off the street. If we, it's nice to beat them up, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, but they heal, all right? So we need to get them incarcerated. And, you know, I'll tell you what, Bill, you know this. Pedophiles are not liked in jails. They don't like them. Because, Because, quite frankly, a lot of people have a sister or a brother, because it'd be either a girl or boy, right? Or they have a nephew, they have a niece, they have a son or daughter, or whatever the case might be, you know, and they certainly don't want their children or family being abused like a monster like that. So they don't get good treatment. A lot of times in prisons, because I've worked them, they try to keep them, you know, separate from the population. And the way I look at it is, I think they should be a part of the population. And whatever happens, happens. Because they cannot be healed. They can't. There's just too many studies that show it. They try, but they can't. That's it. So, they're just, they're to society, they're always going to be that way. If they got out, say they got an 8-year, I knew someone not too long ago who received an 8-year prison sentence. That person got out, but the only reason why that person isn't out offending is because they're on an oxygen tent and all this other stuff, or tank, not tent, oxygen tank, because they had COPD so badly. They had smoked for too many years and all this other stuff. Doesn't mean that the person didn't want to. It just meant that he wasn't physically able to.
Right.
So, these are things that that happen, and people, we have to make them aware of the fact that I don't care if it's your son, I don't care if it's your daughter, I don't care if it's another family member, but when that family member goes after a child, okay, they have to be dealt with. They have to be dealt with, Bill.
Right. So here's the thing. We don't go after criminals ourselves, but we try to, our job is to help the person that was damaged by a criminal, they are criminals, to get into recovery. And we're very good at that. So that's where we focus on. And we make people understand the statistics and the facts. Like you just said, the statistics are outrageous. Nobody expects to hear that there are 60 million American adults who experienced childhood sexual abuse when they were kids. 60 million. We have a lot of work for ourselves because there's not 60 million people in recovery. There are very few less, very, very few less. So, and then the statistic about how they're dealt with in prison, like you just said. People don't realize that, but, even to criminals, the pedophile who is a criminal is a disgusting criminal. It's a disgusting crime, in other words, and it's a hated crime. And so those people who have that incarceration, then they're not going to have a good time. In fact, they often have to put them in a separate facility or a separate building or something like that. So, there's...
they'll put them in isolation. That's what they do many
maybe,
times.
If they have enough space. But otherwise, they might put them in the same, in a separate building or something like that, where there's a lot of them. And the other thing is, they don't get better, like you said. That's absolutely true, and I want people to understand that. People need to know that the child abuse... predator has an appetite, I call it, for children that once it's earned, once he has the appetite, he or she, they can't shake it. And we've tried and we continue to try all kinds of things that would deter them. We try things that are surgical and chemical, like pills and so forth, and different kinds of therapies and electroshock and on and on and on. All kinds of things, and none of them work. So, sometimes there's a tiny bit of improvement, and then it always goes back. This is just, we're not going to stop trying, obviously, the community, but you have to be realistic. If you've tried for this many years to find a tool that a predator can stop being, a predator because of, that would be worth its weight in gold to us, but they can't find it. So
no, they can't. They can't. And yeah. I've mentioned before, and I will mention again, and I'll mention it maybe quite a few times, but with Oprah, one of her last shows, and Bill, I'm going with this, she had I want people out there to hear this that haven't heard it. I happened to tune into it. There she had all these pedophiles on a stage. There was no audience, And what she did was she went around them, she circled them, and then she started to ask them questions. Now, these guys, she didn't have any females, she had just men, but they had been in for treatment, all right, all kinds of treatment. And the youngest one, I'd say, was in his 30s, kind of hard to tell, maybe 35, something like that. And the oldest one was in his 60s. And she went from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And she said, well, you've had, she had the information, well, you've had amount of therapy, and you've had amount of therapy, going from one to the other. And then finally she asked a question. She asked, can you now, after all this treatment that you've received, right, can you now be safe around children? Can you be around children? And not one of them could say yes. Not one. So that's a show that I'll never forget, because I'm glad they were truthful. But it shows something there. And she had, you know, a number of them up there on the stage. It wasn't just like one or two. So I think that sort of like gives people an answer. And of course, Oprah herself had been violated, crimes against children, as I call it. I think it was from an uncle or it was a grandfather. I don't remember which. But she, too, had gone through child abuse, sexual abuse. And that's why she had taken this interest, I suppose, you know, to have these guys up on the stage. But you learn from it. See, that's the thing. And so I talk about it, even when I was doing, was allowed to do presentations, you know, now everything's Zoom or whatever. And, you know, because I want people to understand that. Because sometimes we'll get people on the show and they'll say, well, this person only, mind you, they'll use the word only, assaulted one time. Well, number one, how do they know that? Okay. And number two, the studies do show that, and you know this, Bill, you know, when a guy gets caught or a girl gets caught, whatever, a woman, a man gets caught, they many times have, you know, violated a child. Sexually abused a child 121 to 124 to 126 times. The numbers are always varied a little bit, but that means like 10 times maybe with one child, 15 times another, 5 times another. Do the math yourself, it doesn't matter. So they finally got caught for the first time. That doesn't mean that they only, you know, offended one time. And that's something that people have to look at too. So you have the Oprah, and then you have that. And so, no, they can't be rehabilitated. They can't.
No.
Like you said,
no.
You said, Bill, maybe they'll get out and behave for a little while. And during that time, studies show that that time before they relapse again, they do things like petty theft. It's really weird. They do petty theft. They do things like that, small crimes. And maybe even go do a little time for that, whatever. And then when they get out from that, then they go and they seek their prey, wherever that might be.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, this is turning out to be a very good show anyway, right, Annie? See, that's your fault.
Yes, very
much. You
brought
us together.
Oh.
You brought us together, it's your fault.
Well, I couldn't believe that there wasn't anyone on. I didn't understand this, so that's why I called in.
I was shocked. I was shocked.
Yeah.
And, of course, I wasn't on my computer. I said that to Christina, and she went, what? You know, she understands, my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a big deal to us. We're really dedicated to this, and although she's not a survivor, she's a big supporter of the work that I do. And we're both shocked, you know. But
I do know that Ramsey's going to be on. He'll be on, and I have a lot of other people here that I'm pretty sure will be on too, Bill. This was just one of those things.
You saw the new
schedule,
right?
No, I did not. Patricia McKnight, I know she'll be on the 14th. And Wayne, I don't have his name in front of me, but he's from the contact list. He'll be on the 13th. In fact, I'll get in touch with him.
I have all these
sure.
people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have all these people.
And Rachel Grant, of course, she'll be on the 17th.
I have all these people. I have them all. I just wanted you to know that I am updating as soon as I learn from you to the new date. I've got Eric Ramsey on the 29th, in other words, right now. I got to fill in some other information, but he's already there. This is on this current schedule, and now I got to go find his old biography if I can. But you know what he was on? 2014.
He told me it was a very long time ago.
Wow.
Long time ago.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that somehow,
And he's been on our contact list for the long time, too. I wonder, we're going to have to ask him, but I wonder, if he still gets calls. He must, Wouldn't that be interesting?
I don't know. But I know he's very excited about coming on. I know that because called him today. I called him today.
Yeah.
And so that's a definite. So, no, we have a lot of guests coming up. It's just, I don't know what happened tonight. I can't tell you. I don't know.
No, I can't either. We're going to have to, I had conversations with a variety of people, including you, Carol, to try and get the schedule figured out because we haven't had one in a while. And I thought I, covered that base with, for example, Tammy, who puts out the schedule. But no.
I saw some things on the phone. I'll tell you later. All right, so this is what we suffer from. I'm going to read this list real quick because the show is getting down to the end anyway. But, okay, I started out with how does childhood sexual abuse affect adults' well-being? Okay, we suffer from mental conditions, in other words, like depression, all kinds of things. And we have trust issues. We suffer from low self-esteem. Until we get help, you bet. We can be suicidal because we feel so badly about ourselves, and many of us have tried. You may have a lot of negative feelings, making it hard to cope with everyday stress. Impulsivity, I have to watch that one with me. It says this means acting on urges before thinking through the consequences, which can lead to risky behavior and activities. I'm working on it. I'll get into the car, and I'll go flying down the road. Maybe it's 45 mile per hour as you're supposed to go. I'm going 60. Oops. Okay. But I'm having a good time doing it. So I have to watch that. I have to watch that. That can cover all different areas. I just use that. But you may have a hard time controlling your anger. Okay. People have anger issues. And then, of course, we have something that's called dissociation. And that's when the mind splits. We speak about that often because we're finding out more as time goes by, as the years go by, that, they used to call it like MVP, multiple personality disorder, MPD or whatever, multiple personality disorder, MPD, yes. That was the old version. And it's called dissociation. And that's when the brain is trying to, help out. That's where people might have all different kinds of personalities. Like in the movie Sybil or something, some of these other ones that are even more current. A lot of people don't want to get rid of those personalities, Bill, because they lean on them. Like you and I leaned on alcohol, all right? I was pill popping too. They didn't care if they had those other personalities because one personality would take over a situation. And I was speaking to someone about that the other day, about integrating, in other words, ending up having one personality. And they, quite frankly, were happy not to give up their personalities. So it depends on the person also. I'm finding this out. So some people go for help for that, and other people don't mind it. Well, to me, that would like having a whole bunch of voices in my head. I don't know. If I had all those personalities, I don't know. But... we're learning more about that. And it's something that's being spoken about more, and I'm finding out a lot more information about that. A lot of times we don't feel like we're connected to our body. I know that feeling. I'll go into a store. I push myself to go out at times. I will go out just to be around people and go into stores, whatever, and I feel separate. I feel different. And just the way it's written here, you feel like you're not connected to your body. You have a strange feeling. Okay. And so, you know, there's just all kinds of ways that, you know, we are affected. Of course, there's self-harm, people that do self-harm. You may harm yourself, but not intend to, and your life. Sometimes it's attention-seeking, as they used to say. It may be a very way to cope with difficulties, with thoughts and feelings.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, that,
well,
you know.
Let's be aware of the fact we only have four minutes left, so let's be aware of the fact that that's happening. And I don't want us to end stumble into the ending. We can end nicely. I want to first of all thank Annie, as I've done a couple of times. But you know, this is an example of how she's not very experienced yet, but she's willing.
No,
and that's all you really have to be. You have to be willing. And when you're willing,
I am willing.
Stuff comes up, and there's opportunities to serve. You know, the NASCAR organization, for example. It's great. It's wonderful. So I want to thank her, because without Annie, we wouldn't have had any show tonight. It's going to be about a 40-minute show, perhaps, but that's okay. We had a full show, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
It was an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. So we did a lot of show.
Because
I was able to run over and get on. But anyway, and then Carol, of course, who, you know, she is so committed to NASCA. Whenever something like this shows up, you can bet Carol will be there helping other people who are in trouble, like I was, like Annie, poor Annie, like Annie was, to whatever way she can. That's how Carol is. That's what she does. You know. So I want to thank them both.
I push my sleeves up. That's what I do.
You do. You roll your sleeves up. That's right.
I get dirty.
We have 3,300 shows that we've done, something like that. They are all available.
Wow.
Off our website in our current schedule, the library, which is located under the current schedule link. And they go back year after year after year, all the way back to, we combined a few of the first years in the first link, which is 2009. But I just went to 2014 to find Eric, and his show was number 768.
Good God.
And we're now up to, that's a long time ago, Carol. We're now up to 2808, and there's another 300, 400 that aren't on this list, but we have them in another place. So thank you all for being here tonight, for listening. We will have another guest tomorrow night. We'll have a discussion show, and then a guest on Thursday. So please join us whenever you can. This is Bill Murray thanking Annie and Carol and all of you that were listening and saying, may God bless you and the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors and child abuse. Good night, Donna.
Good night.
Good night.
Tomorrow, could that dawn come? You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.